Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today is January 17th, 2013, and this is the launch event for Ontology Summit 2013. My name is Michael Gruninger, and along with Matthew West, we are the co-chairs for this year's summit. We have a quite a packed event for today with our launch event, and I will begin with my slides. Peter, are those slides up?
Yes.
Okay. So this year's theme, if we go to slide two, this year's theme is looking at ontology evaluation. Now, currently, there's really no agreed methodology for the development of methodologies. And in particular, there aren't any universally agreed upon metrics for doing ontology evaluation. Yet on the other hand, everyone agrees that there are, you know, some ontologies out there that are better than others, and some are quite badly engineered. So that means that at least implicitly, people are using some criteria for evaluating ontologies, using some practices for doing that evaluation, and there is a need for that kind of methodology. And so this year, the goal for the Ontology Summit this year is to try to identify these best practices for both ontology evaluation as well as ontology development. And so in this sense, we're considering really the entire life cycle of an ontology, all the way from the requirements gathering and analysis through to design and ultimately implementation. So if we go to slide three, I'd like to introduce the Ontology Summit team for this year. As I mentioned, together with Matthew West, we are the general co-chairs of the summit. And for people who are new to the summit is kind of a unique event that we have 3 months of a virtual forum in which we hold events every Thursday at this time. We'll be hearing various presentations and panels on topics that we'll be covering in a few minutes. And this culminates in a face-to-face symposium that is held at NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And this year, the symposium co-chairs are Ram Sriram from NIST and Mike Dean. Now, another unique feature of the Ontology Summit is that we not only have all of these kind of weekly forums and the symposium, but we also try to produce a kind of a common document, a deliverable, which is traditionally called the communique. And this communique synthesizes all of the different inputs, all the different presentations, all of the discussions and other kinds of information gathering that occur over the virtual forum. And so we have two co-lead editors for the communique. And this year, the editors are Amanda Weisdom and Fabian Neuhaus. Now, as a result of our, we had an initial kind of brainstorming session in December, followed by an organizing committee session where we tossed out various ideas. So based on this theme of doing ontology evaluation, to try to kind of expand and look at what are some more specific sorts of ideas and how can we kind of pull this all together? What's the underlying structure? And as traditional in previous ontology summits, we have identified different tracks. And this year we've identified four different tracks that are kind of different expansions of the theme of ontology evaluation. And we'll be getting to that in kind of the next slide. And so we have various track champions. These are people who are coordinating that particular track. And each week, their different track will be hosting the event. In addition, part of the summit team is what we call the advisory committee. These are people invited by the organizing committee to provide input and other kinds of advice on both the theme and the direction of the summit. And then we have various co-sponsors who support this endeavor. If we go to slide four, this slide four should be entitled All the Different Tracks. Sorry for the title glitch. So these are the four tracks and the champions that we have this year. Track A, which is championed by Leo Oberst and Steve Ray, focuses on what we're calling the intrinsic aspects of ontology evaluation. So these are properties of the ontologies and the specification kind of in and of themselves. So things like looking, analyzing the axioms, analyzing their taxonomies and other kinds of properties. Track B looks at what we're calling the extrinsic aspects. So looking at evaluating the ontology in the context of its particular application or particular software system. And the champions for this track are Terry Longstreth and Todd Schneider. In track C, what we're trying to do is kind of synthesize all the different criteria and techniques that are being identified in track A, and then saying, well, how can we actually build ontologies that can actually satisfy these evaluation criteria? How can we build in best practices into our current design methodologies? And this track is led by Matthew West and Mike Bennett. And finally, our track D is led by Joanne Luciano and Peter Yim, is looking at various software environments for evaluating ontologies. Now, later on in today's session, we'll be hearing from each of these track champions and giving more detail on these tracks. I'm just giving a slight overview of their titles. If we move to the next slide, we have the schedule for the summit events this year. And essentially, like I said, each track is hosting an event on a particular week. So next week, we will be hearing from track B, which is the extrinsic aspects of evaluation. Following week, we'll have track A, C, and D. Around the middle of February, February 21st, what we're going to be doing is kind of after this first round of track presentations, just doing a little bit of brainstorming on synthesis. And hopefully out of this, we'll have some idea of an outline for the proposed communique. Now, the other aspect, which is kind of, I think, a new thing this year, is that with the symposium being the face-to-face aspect of it, we wanted to have something very new and dynamic. And one of the proposals this year will be to have kind of a hackathon, which kind of really kind of follows the track C and D and try to provide software environments that really encapsulate the best practices identified from the other two tracks. And so the idea is that maybe have a hackathon that can actually start doing some of this design of software environments. And so in the February 21st meeting, we'll be kind of exploring some basic ideas of how can we get this actually to work. Over the following month, we'll hear kind of a second round from each of the tracks, additional presentations and panel presentations. And then by the end of March, we'll have another meeting where we kind of prepare for the hackathon and related activities at the symposium. In April, we'll have a second synthesis round, and then also followed by 2 weeks where we actually are preparing this communique. The idea is to have this communique finished before kind of presenting it at the symposium, and Fabian and Amanda will have a few more words to say about that. Okay, on the next slide, we have the agenda for today. So I've just kind of given an actual kind of introduction to the topics and tracks for this year's theme. And so I'd like to turn it over now to the various co-chairs, to the various summit co-organizers, and to kind of get their perspectives on their expectations and hopes and dreams for this year's summit. So let's see, where are we here? So I've just basically finished the first slide deck, the summit chair. So right now we'll hear some of the desired outcomes from the summit co-organizers. Then we'll hear an overview of the tracks in terms of all the different track champions presenting what they're looking at, kind of a little more detail in terms of what's in the scope of their tracks and a hint of some of the upcoming presentations. Then we'll hear an overview of the symposium, a brief introduction to expectations of the communique, we'll have some open discussion, and then summary and wrap-up. So now I guess we can go to some of the other slides here. I guess representing Ontolog, I guess we'll have Leo and Peter.
Okay, thank you, Mike. We're Ontolog is a coordinator and co-organizer of Ontology Summit, and in this year, on slide two, I wanted to let people know that basically Ontolog was founded to promote community-based open standards. We consider it a community of practice for promoting sound ontological science and engineering. So we are after well-designed, requirements-driven, principle-based ontologies, because we think that's essential to the adoption of ontological technology. And, of course, essential to that is ontology evaluation, because you need to have quality ontologies to succeed in promoting ontological engineering in information technology. So we hope and trust that Ontology Summit 2013 will enable the adoption of better methods and metrics to evaluate ontologies, and hence improve ontology development, deployment, and reuse in information technology. Thank you.
Thank you, Leo. So up next, we have Ram, Sriram, who's will give us a few of the expectations from perspective of NIST.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, again, this is Ram Sriram from NIST, and I'm the chief of the Software and Systems Division. Over the years, NIST has been sponsoring the Ontolog Forum and the Summit for, actually, the Ontology Summit for the last few years or so, started with Steve Ray's time. And after Steve Ray left NIST, I've taken over supporting this at NIST. So in terms of the desired outcomes from the perspective of NIST, next slide, please. The first two bullets talk about the overall mission of NIST and how ITL's mission and goals align with the NIST mission and goals. Essentially, I don't want to repeat this thing, but the key thing is that we are interested in measurements and standards, okay, and any technology leading to measurements and standards. So this will help us, help United States in competing in the world local and global markets as such, essentially enhance the economic security and improve quality of life. And ITL, which is the Information Technology Lab, is one of the six operating units of NIST, in terms operating units which does research and related work. ITL focuses on information technology, and again, our focus is, as you can see there, accelerate through standards, tests, and metrics, the development, deployment, and use of secure, usable, interoperable, and reliable information systems. So again, we are focused on both metrology for software and software for metrology. Metrology here is measurement science. So we're interested in developing tools and techniques for measurement science, and also we would like to evaluate the software systems as such, okay, software assurance and so on. And in terms of the systems aspects of things, we look at interoperability of various systems. And as you know, standards play a major role in the interoperability of these systems. So when we are looking at standards, we are looking at interoperability of systems, we look at both syntax and semantics. And when you come into the semantics field, you get into the whole world of ontologies. So next slide, please. So my expectation from this particular summit is, next slide, please. Hello?
Yes.
Can you advance it? Or,
it is already advanced.
Oh, okay. I can't see it on my screen for some reason.
Well, you
okay.
Might have to refresh the screen.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
Refresh.
So, With respect to what I was saying before, we are interested in developing a measurement science for evaluating ontologies. So there are three aspects there in terms of expectations. One is, what are the various metrics for ontology evaluation, and what kinds of measurement techniques that you can use for these particular metrics, and also eventually this will lead to a methodology for building quality ontology. I must say that about in 2007, I guess 5 years ago, we did have a workshop here on ontology evaluation, and many of you participated in that particular workshop. And there is a report of that workshop on the NIST website. If you Google, you can get the proceedings of that, deliberations of that NIST workshop. And one of the things that I would like to see is that where have you gone from there? From what has happened 5 years ago to now, have you progressed anything in evaluation and developing a metrology for ontology evaluation? Okay, and now I'm going to stop.
Oh, thank you, Ron, for the challenge, for the presentation as well as the challenge to show that we've actually accomplished something. Okay, next up, representing the National Center for Ontological Research, we will hear from Fabian Neuhaus, who's also presenting on behalf of Barry Smith. Fabian.
We have a message to say that he's on his way to hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
Last night.
And
yes.
He might not be able to make the presentation today.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I did not see that.
So I think it's then sensible if Peter presents for him.
Okay.
Okay, so if we turn to the slide number 2 of Fabian's deck, introduces the goals of ANCOR, the National Center for Ontological Research, that is based in both Buffalo and at Stanford. They're there to advance ontology as a science, foster development of high-quality ontologies, and develop measures of quality for ontologies to establish best practices. Hence, the theme of this summit jives very well with ANCOR's goals, and Fabian were among the advocates that we picked this theme this year. Going on to the third slide, from ANCOR's perspective, their expectations are, one, that they want to take a stance against relativism. They want to establish the metrics and what really provides measures for good ontologies. And again, they have three questions. What are the metrics for quality? How do they relate to requirements for ontology development? And how do we measure quality and whether requirements are met? With those which are now trying to be tackled by the tracks, then they also want to understand more about existing practices and tools, which also folds into one of our tracks and maybe some of the efforts in the symposium. That's it for ANCOR's opening. Back to Michael.
Thank you, Peter. Our next co-organizer is the National Center for Biomedical Ontologies, and we'll be hearing from Trish Wetzel, also presenting on behalf of Mark Musen. Trish.
Hi, I'm Trish Wetzel, and I'm the Outreach Coordinator for the National Center for Biomedical Ontology. Next slide. The key activities for NCBO are to create and maintain a library of biomedical ontologies. We build tools and web services to enable the use of ontologies, and we also collaborate with various scientific communities. Next slide. The main tool that we have developed is BioPortal, and if you're not already familiar with BioPortal, I've provided a link here, bioportal.bioontology.org, that you can go and review the system. So as I mentioned, this is the main tool that we've developed. And next slide, please. And BioPortal is a repository of biomedical ontologies. However, this infrastructure, the technology infrastructure, is domain independent. So there's nothing inherent or specific for a biomedical ontology versus something used in another domain. It's capable of storing ontologies developed in various formats, some OWL, protege frames, OBO format, and the rich release format. Provides access to the ontologies through a variety of technical mechanisms, such as the web interface, web services, and we also have a Sparkle endpoint that's currently in beta. There are a few, just to mention a few specific features, it does provide access control for private ontologies, as well as support subsets and views of ontologies. And next slide, please. Ontology evaluation is something that's very important to us. As you can see, this is a screenshot of the Browse tab of BioPortal, and we do provide a column. We do provide a mechanism to add reviews of ontologies, and we display this on the Browse column and on the Browse page itself, where we list all the ontologies. Let's jump into the next slide. If we take a closer look at one of these ontology reviews, here's one for the NCI Thesaurus. What we're currently using is a star rating system over a few axes that have been developed. So it's usability, domain coverage, correctness, quality of content, and a few other points there. We also provide a mechanism for peer review, and this is done through the notes feature. Next slide, and so reviews, and then we're on notes. Great. And so this is just showing some dialogue from users and asking some questions about a particular term in the pathway ontology. As you can imagine, BioPortal currently has over 400 ontologies, and so it's very important for us to be able to help guide users into some information on what ontologies may be better suited for different tasks or domains. And so on the next slide, what we're looking for is to use the summit as a foundation for ontology evaluation criteria that we can then further implement and disseminate through BioPortal. And as I mentioned, then we can help provide the community and users a better mechanism to select ontologies based on a specific project or task.
Thank you, Trish. Nice insight into what's happening in NCBO. So up next, one of the other co-organizing entities is the International Association of Ontology and its Applications. This year, I was actually elected as president of the association, taking over from Nicola Guarino, who did a tremendous amount of work in getting this association created almost 3 years ago. and so I will be saying just a few words about the association's perspective on this year's summit. So if you have slide two on the set of slides we have there, I just wanted to just draw attention to the mission statement of the association for people who haven't maybe heard of it before. What the association is really trying to do is kind of promote a lot of interdisciplinary research. So it kind of is at that intersection among several different fields. But also looking at the applications of ontological analysis to a wide range of domains. And I think that is where we feel that this year's summit is of critical importance. That's why I kind of have that in bold there. It's the applications of ontological analysis. That's really what we want to have within the mission of the association. So if we go to slide three, we feel that if ontologies are to really have an impact on the current practice in both industry, in government, in academia, then we really need to have rigorous methodologies for ontology design that are in place to really ensure that the ontologies people are using are in some sense correct, that these are well-crafted, well-designed, and well-founded constructs that can be used. You know, not only that they're correct, but also that they kind of satisfy the requirements that are really imposed on them by their particular applications. And so what we really hope to see this year is to identify a lot of the best practices for ontological analysis, to identify how we can support these best practices, and also looking for techniques for ontology evaluation. I mean, as a field, I think we need to really kind of take that next step and have these objective kind of principles for doing this kind of evaluation. So we really feel that this is a really critical year, a really critical topic that will hopefully bear a lot of fruit. Our final co-organizer is George Strawn, who will be saying a few words of expectations from the perspective of NCO NITRD. George, go ahead.
Thank you. To remind new members to this group that I consider myself a very interested observer of your community as opposed to a member of your community, so I apologize in advance if I make any overly naive statements about expectations. Second slide, please. A quick overview of the NITRD organization. It was established by the High Performance Computing Act of 1991. It consists of approximately 20 federal agencies coordinating approximately $4 billion of annual investment in IT research and development. I say approximately 20 agencies because we're experiencing a growth spurt for the last year or two, and I expect that number to increase in the near future. We have many coordination groups, including cybersecurity, high-end computing, large-scale networking, big data, health, IT, R&D, software, design and productivity, and about a dozen more. I mention big data in particular because it needs to be very concerned with ontology and other semantic reuse technologies. I mention health, IT, R&D in particular because biomed, I would say, is the leading scientific discipline in the employment of ontologies. And I mentioned software because for several reasons. One, Ram is a co-chair of our SDP coordination group, and I'm particularly interested in seeing what the relationship between development in software life cycle activities and ontology life cycle activities either is or may become. And the next slide, please. Number three, state that certainly some of our interests in ontologies of, at a general nature relate to enhanced interoperability and reuse of scientific data, which is a federal activity on the front burner right now, either through data.gov activities or our big data interagency working group and several others as well. At the most general level, we're interested in new modes of scientific discovery, including the catch statement that was made in the fourth paradigm volume published by Microsoft Research a few years ago. A great goal is to make the scientific record a first-class scientific object, meaning to deduce new science from both the scientific literature and the scientific data, which is increasingly needs to be stored in interoperable, accessible and interoperable methods. I'm aware of and have reported before on my interest in the National Library of Medicine activity called Semantic Medline, where scientific papers are being published based on semantic analysis of the abstracts of the Medline database and are connecting isolated factoids of information into new levels of knowledge that are deemed publishable in prestigious journals. I've already mentioned the fact that I have some interest in observing how ontology methodologies are similar to or how are they different from software methodologies, and I'm glad for Ram's participation to help draw that connection. In conclusion, I'm quite interested in the future and wondering how soon wide acceptance and use of ontologies may be expected. Certainly, as I mentioned, it appears that BioMed in the science area is the leader, and as an interagency coordination group, one of our functions will be to, as appropriate, help transfer that knowledge to other agencies, other scientific disciplines in other agencies as appropriate. I'm remembering my second comment about complexity of ontologies. Exactly 20 years ago, when I was running a university computation center, I asked my technical advisors if the web would ever replace Gopher as the information tool of choice. And to a person, they said, no, it won't, because it's too complicated. Well, later that very same year, the Mosaic browser hid the complication factors from a user perspective of the web, and of course the rest is history. It did become very rapidly the information appliance of the internet of exclusive choice, practically. And I like to say that IT specialists have two jobs. One is to create complexity, and then the second is to hide it. I suspect that the ontology community is further along in creating the complexity, and I'm still anticipating that as we learn to hide it, as it is already hidden in such things as Siri and FOF technologies and LinkedIn and other types of social media. The more we can hide the complexities, the broader the public that is introduced and is able to benefit from the technologies. So good luck for this year's symposium. I look forward to observing the results. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Okay, that wraps up all of the perspectives from the different co-organizers for this year's Ontology Summit. For the next little while, what we'll be hearing will be more detail on the four tracks that I outlined earlier. Up first, representing or the co-champions for track A, Leo Oberst and Steve Ray. I'm not sure, is Steve or Leo presenting?
I'll present Leo.
Okay, go ahead, Leo.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Steve Ray and I are the co-champions of track A. Steve is at Carnegie Mellon University, Silicon Valley, and of course I'm from MITRE. Track A is focused on intrinsic aspects of ontology evaluation. So if you look on slide two, our mission, we agree that ultimately an ontology's worth can be measured by its effectiveness helping to solve a particular problem. So requirements are important. And in many cases, requirements are possibly even hard to specify. But behind every ontology really is need for that ontology. But as a designed artifact, there are a number of intrinsic characteristics that can be measured for any ontology that kind of gives it an indication of how well designed it is as an artifact. Some of these are enumerated. We expect that our sessions will bring forth more. So, for example, how various relations in the ontology are actually used and if they're properly used. Making sure that we in a sense, have a distinction between classes and instances. Sometimes we also call that concepts more generally and facts, which are kind of instances. We also want to make sure that handling of data type declarations are correct. Our ontologies have typically many constructs, and a number of those are relations, properties, classes, instances, rules, axioms, sometimes functions, processes. What we want to make sure is that when we name our classes and the other constructs, that they make sense, that it's close for English and natural language speakers, even though we understand that you can't read the semantics from the name of the class or the concept. We want to make sure that range and domain constraints are consistent. We want to have a better way of determining good class structure, subclass determination. And we want to really promote sound use of ontological analysis principles. Slide 3. So what we want to do is enumerate, characterize, and eventually disseminate information on approaches, methodologies, and tools focused on intrinsic characteristics, with, of course, the intent to raise qualities, the quality of ontologies in the future. So our scope really is the dimensions of evaluation, and these can include, for example, structure, logic, semantics, and the kinds of analysis that's performed. Methods of evaluation, criteria, and metrics associated with those criteria, and of course, properties. Which properties do we measure? Slide 4. How do we make this happen? So we foresee potential topics on approaches and methods of intrinsic aspects of ontology evaluation. The use of ontological analysis. Since ontological engineering began roughly in the early 90s, there's been the increased use of formal ontology and ontological analysis in determining axioms, the precision of axioms, the correctness of axioms, and in fact, the subclass, class-subclass hierarchy, if you think about ontoqueen, in terms of sound philosophical principles. We also focused on accuracy, precision, and recall, insofar as they make sense and how are they defined for ontologies, and prospectively granularity, even modularity. So part of an ontology may be a complex ontology may require some sort of modularity metric to maintain the quality, not just for the initial development and deployment, but for eventual reuse. Other aspects are coverage density. In other words, is how rich is that ontology on average? There may be notions of robustness, which again is another example of richness, cohesion, and even graph properties, graph theoretic properties. How are things connected? Are they well connected from a graph theoretic perspective? Best practices is another important topic. And, of course, that requires some knowledge representation language requirements. So, for example, if you're using OWL, and which is mostly a description logic, well, you may not be able to get the precision of the axiom that you really are interested in that you could, let's say, in common logic. We also want to focus on adherence to established ontology design patterns, become more and more pronounced in recent years along the lines of software design patterns, but in effect it represents patterns of analysis. And of course, when you build an ontology, it requires documentation, annotation, and examples. And you might say that that's not intrinsic to an ontology, but We would say that it's extremely important that you have documentation of the logic that you're expressing, and it could be in English or another natural language, but it helps to provide confirmation that your ontology is as accurate as you prescribed. And, of course, we want to focus on prospective tools, so consistency checking by different kinds of ontology reasoners. Also, maybe rule reasoning. So if you have rules, axioms that are more expressive than, let's say, a description logic, well, you're going to need a language that expresses that and a reasoner that executes those rules. So, in effect, that is a component that needs to be evaluated, too. And, of course, some of the tools, such as OntoClean, well-established, but we also want to bring forward some other tools, such as OOPS, et cetera, OntoQA. Okay, that's all. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Rio. Yeah, that's very fascinating material. We look forward to the sessions. And just remember, everyone, that the first session for Track A will be on January 31st. So Track B is the next one, and Terry Longstreth and Todd Schneider. And I think Todd will be presenting.
We can both represent Michael, assuming
okay.
You're hearing me.
Yes.
Okay. Terry, feel free to speak up whenever. So Track B, as shown in the first slide, we're going to look at extrinsic aspects of the evaluation of ontology. So on to slide two, please. So here's our mission statement. As was mentioned earlier, extrinsic is going to take a look at the ontology from outside of it. So in particular, we're taking a systems view or perspective of the ontology and its use, and more specifically, we want to apply a black box paradigm in terms of evaluating extrinsic aspects of an ontology. So as you can see here, we describe what the mission is. There are subjective factors that could be involved. Of course, there are going to be metrics that we'd like to use. And there could be a range of other quantifiable attributes. As was pointed out, the field of ontology evaluation, if you think of it from the CMMI perspective, is about level one, i.e., people are just sort of making things up as they go along. And as George pointed out, this needs to be improved greatly because at this point, from a systems perspective, if you try and convince someone that they should go with an ontological approach to their system, they're going to look at the risk factors involved, and they're not going to be comforted. So we'd like to mitigate that and alleviate that, or at least minimize that risk factor in the consideration of uses of ontologies and semantic technologies. So from a systems context, we want to look at evaluations that are derived or could be derived from the examination of the inputs or the stimuli and then the outputs that result. So again, this is the black box paradigm. We don't know exactly what's going on inside, but we can stimulate the thing and we can see the results. Now, one point I want to make from the systems perspective is that I'm looking at it as a system. I don't want to use the constraint of just an application. It could be an information system. It could be a system that itself performs actions based on the ontology and the subsequent knowledge base that you have from that, i.e. instance data. So we don't want to constrain exactly how you use ontologies and or go to the trouble to try and categorize those uses. But again, we're just looking at the ontology in some sort of system. Now, in fact, the system itself may be just the ontology. You know, for instance, psych could be considered an ontology. It's also a system because it does have an inference engine, a language, and all sorts of other stuff around it to be able to use it in the way that the psych team wants you to use it. So we don't want to constrain what a system can be, but again, just that perspective. So as we mentioned here, the ontology could be entirely embedded or encapsulated within the system or the entity that's using it, or it may or may not be externally accessible, i.e. from the interoperability perspective, if you want different systems to interoperate, then you may want to or need to expose the ontology explicitly so that they can decide whether they can interoperate. And then the separation of a system or its entity's behaviors which aren't governed by an ontology has to be accounted for also. So if we go on to slide three, let me hit the right mouse here. Okay, so here's just a sort of a catch-all list of some extrinsic aspects that should be considered or need to be considered. There's the interoperability of ontologies. And there are different ways to look at interoperability of ontologies, as I'm sure Leo will tell us about. Then there's the requirements. And again, this is from the systems perspective. If a customer comes to you and they say they want a system, and oh, by the way, it should have use or make use of ontologies because they think it's going to be to their advantage, what are those requirements, and how do we verify those requirements? Okay, now the dual of that is how can we write requirements that can be verified and that actually are going to help produce a good ontology? And then what are the metrics that we can use to or be derived from the requirements or be used to verify the requirements? You know, how good requirements are relevant to ontologies, how can they be crafted? So another extrinsic aspect is the fitness for purpose. Is this thing going to do what I expect it to do? And, of course, the notion of expectation gets back to the requirements. You know, is the thing going to perform as a system, i.e. there's the CPU usage, there's the persistence mechanism, how much disk space do I need? Is it going to perform queries in an appropriate response time? Are the queries going to come back with the appropriate precision and completeness that I want? Now, one point we're going to talk about during our first session next Thursday, 28 January, is are there any evaluation methods or paradigms or metrics that we could make use of or perhaps reuse, repurpose from database evaluations? So, from a systems perspective, again, the evaluation of databases and their uses in larger systems has been going on for several decades, and they have a pretty good handle on how to do that. So we're going to hear a talk from Mary Balboni that's going to review some of these standard techniques, and again, throughout the entire life cycle of a database. Now, she is not going to tell us, unfortunately, how these could be translated and reused for ontology evaluation, but the hope is that it will prompt us to think about ways that we can go about doing this in a more formal and systematic fashion based on what's already been done. Now, another aspect is the differences in evaluation that may need to take place or perhaps may not need to take place between the actual ontology, i.e. the set of axioms and I just want to use the term theory in the formal language, and the instance data of that ontology. Do these need to be evaluated separately from a black box perspective? Maybe not. Don't know yet. And again, how can we evaluate or determine the metrics from the examination of the inputs and the stimuli? How can we use evaluations to revise requirements? So again, one of the big problems here is how do you write a requirement that's going to produce the result that you expect? I don't think we have a way to do that yet or have a good idea of even how to start. But perhaps Amanda can tell us something more about that. And again, how can evaluations be used to correct an ontology? Now, we know in software they have all sorts of metrics to look at defects and keeping track of those things, so maybe there's something there we can learn. So if we go on to slide 4. Now, as we pointed out, we're going to use this black box paradigm. But the question then becomes, what are the boundaries of the black box? You know, where does that box begin and end? And unfortunately or fortunately, there are different levels. Do I look at the black box from the user's level? I'm sitting in front of a device, a system, something or other that's doing something for me. Or am I looking at the system level? I'm sort of beyond the user. I'm a little closer. Am I looking at the subsystem level? Or am I looking at the component level? You know, in particular, the ontology itself might be considered a component, and that can be subject to evaluations, just as you can do unit tests on software. And I should point out, I guess at this point, our view of ontologies is skewed in that we are considering these things as software artifacts. So keep that in mind, and if that's wrong, we'll try and make note of that. Now, a couple of other aspects that I haven't mentioned here, and we'll say a little more about it next week, are security issues. Are there any security issues associated with the use of an ontology? Now, maybe the security issues get immersed or represented in a different fashion in terms of evaluation. But I have yet to hear anyone mention about security issues. And, of course, as we all know, the security of systems and their operations is of paramount interest at this point in time. Now, another aspect of evaluations, or at least something we need to consider and figure out, is the notion of how data gets input into a system that is based on ontologies. That is, you have your ontology, a bunch of axioms, nice formal language, and your theory of your domain, but then you have to have instance data to really make a good use of that in a system. How does that data get into the system? Well, through some user interfaces or some interfaces. And it could be the case that the interfaces themselves have inconsistencies because they do not properly reflect what is in the ontology. So perhaps those input mechanisms need separate evaluation criteria. So that's all I have to say. Terry, do you have anything to add? Okay. Well, thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Todd. And a very interesting perspective on the problem of ontology evaluation. The next track, and then just also as a reminder, the next Thursday, January 24th, will be presentations along the lines of track B. So we look forward to that. The next track, C, Mike Bennett and Matthew West. I think you'll both be presenting.
No, it's just me, Matthew West,
okay.
Here.
Go ahead, Matthew.
Hi. We're together with Mike Bennett. I'm the co-champion of Track C, which is looking at ontology evaluation. Building ontologies to meet evaluation criteria. Slide two, please. The background for our track is really a reflection of the two different ways of assuring quality. The first one being that you measure the result and fix up any defects, and the second one being that you try to design a process that means that there aren't any defects in the first place that you will need to fix. And clearly, particularly with something as complex as an ontology, the second approach is going to be much cheaper than the first approach, because if you don't have a good process and you rely on fixing things up afterwards, you're going to be doing an awful lot of fixing and rework. So the aim is to be proactive. How can you be proactive rather than just reactive in the way that you develop ontologies? Methodologies are generally designed to ensure cost savings compared to that after the event quality measures. Are there ontology development methodologies available? How mature are they? Do they take account of the different ontology roles, life cycles, and ontological commitments? These are all things that I hope we will be finding out. Slide three, please. So methodologies are about incorporating techniques for evaluation, linked to software development cycles, taking account of ontology usage scenarios as both a deliverable application and as a conceptual model. So this is looking at the different two main roles that ontologies tend to play, either being a knowledge system of some sort, you ask it a question, it gives you an answer, or as a conceptual model, which is more often there to be an integration, used for integration between systems. Slide four, please. So our mission is to investigate the state-of-the-art in ontology development methodologies, including key achievements and key gaps that currently exist. Achievements, what's there, and gaps, what's not there. So fairly simple. And slide five. So objectives that follow from that include, but are not limited to, examine the explicit and implicit methodologies that are known to exist, understand the role that upper ontologies play in ontology development methodologies, understand the role of ontological patterns in ontology development methodologies, identify how to apply the intrinsic and extrinsic aspects of ontology evaluation identified by the other tracks within the application development methodologies, applicable development methodologies, And identifying how to frame the applicable ontology development methodologies within the frameworks of established quality assurance regimes such as ISO 9000 and CMMI for industrial applications. CMMI, by the way, is a maturity model. And slide six, track sessions. Our sessions are on February the 7th and March the 14th. And if you think you have something interesting to say on these this area, we'd like to hear from you. We're looking for speakers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matthew. So then the fourth track and final track that forms the basic structure of this year's summit, track D, will be presented by the co-champions Joanne Luciano and Peter Yim. Peter, I think you're presenting.
Yes, let me find out if Joanne is online. Joanne? No, she had a prior engagement, so I will present on behalf of our track. So our track title is Software Environments for Evaluating Ontologies. So moving on to slide number two, this is our mission statement. Through this track, we aim to coordinate the following. We try to provide a venue to bring together individuals and communities who can help define and hopefully advance the state of the art in software and systems for evaluating ontologies. We plan to collect and enumerate software environments and tools that are available for evaluating ontologies now. And of course, we'll put emphasis on those tools and systems that are open and those that are publicly available. We also will solicit support from people who have proprietary tools if they want to share with us so that we, the community, can take a look at a broad spectrum of what is available and what is the state of the art. And then we also want to coordinate some development. For the first time, as Michael mentioned earlier this year, we are looking at maybe possibly getting our hands dirty besides just talking about things. There will hopefully be some prototyping and implementation that would feed into an interim presentation at the symposium and possibly implementation projects and collaborations that could be continued after the Ontology Summit. That would be after May, the May Symposium. Next slide, number three, how are we going to make it happen? I remember Fabian Neuhaus mentioned, said the key difference between, let's say, the Ontology Summit and a research project is that we can actually bring in a whole lot of people to tackle the same problem. So this time, definitely, we want to bring the whole community to bear, and the first thing first is we need support from other tracks as well as the entire summit community to help us collect and enumerate what tools are out there, what systems are out there, what software environments are out there, and of course for them to share their insights and their work with us so that we can showcase exemplary software environments and tools for evaluating ontologies during the virtual panel sessions that we are going to host. We also want support from user communities that have real needs for evaluating ontology. So we this track is, I would say, a more practical track, and we want to ground our work based on real needs. So we need the user community to provide us the use cases so that we can ground this work. And thirdly, as mentioned before, we need the support of the communities and teams of software ontology software developers and tool makers that will join us in our track activity, especially in terms of prototyping and implementation that would help advance the state of the art in software and systems for evaluating ontologies. Great. And we need your help. So we are going to make these solicitations over the mailing list, and of course during the sessions we're going to host as well. Going on to the next slide, slide number four. These are the planned activities, of course. Whether or not they will be properly rolled out depends on how much support we get from the community, and we need your help. So two virtual sessions planned, February 14th, that's the summit session number 5. We're going to have our first panel session, and then March 21st, we're going to have panel session number 2 for our track. We are possibly assembling a prototyping and implementation team that will meet weekly at first, and then maybe possibly every other week, and we will scale up the virtual activities in the last month or so in the hope of getting some demonstrable deliverables at the May symposium. Also, we will come up with some form of survey, be it something that we asked on the list or some sections on the wikis that we will solicit people to help provide, or we might come up with a survey form. We don't know yet, but we'll work on that next to help us collect information on software environments and tools that are available. So please provide us your input when those come out. So that's it. Back to Michael.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, no, it's very exciting this year to have this possibility of doing some possible prototyping and implementations. I think that'll be something that really is something innovative and something that's very distinctive about this year's summit. Now, in itself, the summit kind of provides a really good resource. For people who are new to this to the summit, every session is recorded, and so people can download the MP3s later on. All the slides for presentations are available online as well. So there's a really good resource for that. But there's also something that we've recognized, which is there has been a lot of work that has been done in ontology evaluation over the past 2 years. And so we've recognized that there's a real need to try to collect a lot of these resources together. And so along those lines, Amanda Weisdom is going to be talking about this idea of having a kind of a community library, and kind of a bibliographical resource that will be another resource that kind of endures for future work based on the results of this year's summit. So, Amanda, if you'd like to talk about that for a few minutes.
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, slide 2. The background for this, as Michael mentioned, a lot of references exist on the summit topic, and frequently during our sessions or an email discussion, those references are offered up by members of the community, and we have examples today. If you look back in our chat stream, you see several cases where people have provided links to standards or documents from previous studies. Last year, we made an initial start on this, trying to gather those so we don't just sort of lose them. And we have them there to refer back to and catch up on and use later. So the means that we're using to pursue this goal is something called Zotero, which is an open source research assisting tool. I've got both sort of the path to our group library and the direct link to it there on the slide. We've created a the initial library for this summit that we will now start growing as we go along. It's been sort of pre-populated a little bit with some existing references on the topic from last year. The deal is that nobody's required to sign up for Zotero or anything in order to view the library. In order to edit it, add notes, add items to it, or use some of Zotero's more advanced features, you will need to sign up for it and join the group. It doesn't cost anything, and we strongly encourage everyone to do that so that everyone can be contributing directly, but it's not required. So slide three is just a screenshot of Zotero's homepage at zotero.org. I should say, I think this is open source. It comes out of George Mason University. It's got a very active maintenance and development community, so it's quite reliable. As it describes itself there, it's free. It's designed exactly for this, organizing and sharing citations and so forth. Slide four. This is a screenshot of the view you get looking at our group library, the Ontology Summit 2013 library. Right now, there are, I think, just a little over 100 items in it. One thing that may not be obvious here, just from the screenshot, is that each of those items in the library view, there'll be a single listing for something that may contain both the bibliographic information, some notes that may be provided by a member of the community, and if the document is a public domain document, an actual link for downloading it directly from the library yourself. If you've signed up for a Zotero membership, you can actually have that continuously synced copy of all that locally as well. Currently, there are no subfolders to the library, but, for example, track champions or special projects groups can create libraries and include any of those documents in their libraries. It won't resave them, in a duplicate way. It's efficient. It'll just another way of sorting it, and it's also got tagging, so we can add any tags that are meaningful to the group, and be able to view things that way. And you can customize in your own view which of the metadata you see in this view. So slide five. This is just a random sample snap screenshot of the view of one particular item that's in that library. You can see it's got the title, it's got the the metadata that's on there, including the tag that it's a reference that was carried over from last year. And then you see in the bottom, notes and attachment. There are no notes, but the attachment is the actual paper. So when you go onto the library, you can actually not only learn, the name and so forth of this paper, but actually download it. And let's see. Okay, so slide six, the summary. Again, that's the link for this. If you go to zotero.org, sign up and go into the groups into Ontology Summit 2013 and request to join, then I'll approve you. And if it's not, the only reason we have this restricted membership is we don't want leave it open for trolls to come in and delete our whole library, right? That's the only reason it's closed, is to prevent, you know, damage or whatever. So it's not as though you need some, you know, special qualifications. This is meant for the whole community. So you can just go ahead and request membership, and I'll approve you. We've already had that happen once during this call. And and as I said, anyone can view it without doing any of that. If you object to additional signups and so forth, which understandably some people do, and that is it.
Great, thank you, Amanda. So this will be something I think that will really be a good, valuable resource that people will be able to use for years to come. So the other primary deliverable, a traditional primary deliverable from an ontology summit, is what's been called the communique, which is a document that's a synthesis of all the work that gets done throughout all the virtual sessions, and is sort of a short paper. It is traditionally then reviewed and published in the Applied Ontology Journal. And this year, our co-lead editors, as I mentioned before, were Amanda and Fabian. So just to say a few words about the communique and the process, Amanda, were you going to present, or?
Yes, well, since Fabian's not on the call, and hopefully is well, but I will present.
Okay, thank you.
So this slide is very, very brief, just designed as a quick reminder for people who have been before, an introduction for those who haven't. Slide two, Fabian composed a good deal of this, so this is sort of his initial witticism. You know, the Ontology Summit is not just a place for exchanging ideas. That is, we're not just talking to ourselves, we are actually working to move community-wide understanding forward. So one of the ways that that happens is in the creation of the communique. The goal is to develop some community consensus that's worth sharing, and that constitutes some a meaningful contribution to the understanding of the topic area. The means of achieving that is the communique, summarizing the results of the Ontology Summit, and then endorsed by individuals as they see fit at the end. Process-wise, the communique develops over the full course of the summit, and this year we've got especially more, added some structure to that, so that we have some markers in the schedule, as you saw earlier, for drafts. At any given point, the communique should reflect the developing understanding and consensus that's emerging out of what we're learning and figuring out together. Most of the content for the communique will be in place by the time of the face-to-face symposium, so we're not writing it to there. A couple of restrictions have evolved that have been in place for the last couple of years and worked very well, which is that once we get to that place and we actually get to the face-to-face symposium, there are some threshold restrictions put in place for the ability to suggest any changes at that point to the communique, and wordsmithing won't happen there. So Fabi and I, as the editors, we will not be imposing our personal opinions here. We'll be synthesizing what's going on in the summit and what is emerging from the summit generally, and taking input and constructing the communique out of that. And slide three has the schedule for that to happen. And as Michael mentioned, traditionally, this the final approved communique will then be published in an issue of the Journal for Applied Ontology. And that's it for that one.
Okay, thank you, Amanda.
You're welcome.
And also just to remind people as well, so in February we'll be having a session where we look at brainstorming on the initial outline for the communique. And as we mentioned at the beginning, or I might mention at the beginning, the every summit is a combination of the series of virtual events, which we've been given an overview of, focused on tracks, etc. But the other aspect of the summit is the face-to-face symposium that traditionally has been taking place at NIST in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And to give an overview of what we can expect at the symposium, which will be May 2nd and 3rd, Mike Dean and Ram Sriram have a few words to say. I think, Mike, you'll be presenting.
Let's see. Ram, do you want to go ahead and present at least slide two, and then I can take it from there?
Slide two?
The venue information.
Yeah, actually, the summit, as Mike Gruninger had pointed out, excuse me, has all these virtual meetings, which go on, I guess, every Thursday for the next 3 months or so, and then we have a two-day symposium at NIST. NIST is in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Basically you Google National Institute of Standards and Technology and you'll get the place. The summit will be held on May 2nd and 3rd. Traditionally, we used to have a room called the Portrait Room, and that worked out very well for so many years, and this year we will be having the room for one day. Another day we still are trying to figure out where to have it, but then the dates are fixed. May 2nd and 3rd are the dates. The logistics of where, what rooms and things like that will be notified to you later on. Still some negotiations going on. We do not have any registration fee, but then we require that everyone, the web registration will be open sometime soon. And as soon as that is open, we request all people who are going to attend physically at NIST register. And the reason is that for non-US citizens, we require at least, 4 days in advance notice or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what the advance notice requirements are, but we do require notice in advance. We will provide the remote access and wireless access here. And I guess spread the word, finally. Any questions on this? Or anyone else's comments on that? The dates are fixed. It's going to be May 2nd and 3rd. Okay, Mike, I hand it over to you then.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Ram. Let's see. Let's go to slide three. Okay, good. Yes. So this is a proposed mission statement for the symposium itself. The distinguishing characteristic for most of the participants is that there's actually a chance to interact face-to-face, so we want to take as much advantage of that as we can, perhaps with some longer breaks and maybe a longer lunch and so forth. So another thing that we'll be doing both on some of the telecons and I think in the summit itself will be really synthesizing the results of the virtual sessions in the four tracks and of various email discussions that are already outgoing. Certainly we want to understand the current state of the art in evaluation tools and techniques. And we'd like to foster the development of new evaluation tools. This could take the form of a hackathon that several people have mentioned, or perhaps some other things. We're planning on having a session about a month from now to kind of figure out exactly what the parameters of the hackathon, and then as we get closer, we'll really announce it and hopefully get multiple teams participating. The Last item, of course, is really what Amanda talked about already, is summarizing our conclusions for the broader community in the communique. Let's go to slide 4. So this is basically a straw man agenda for both days. Some of this actually probably is changing, you know, as we almost as we speak. At the time when I put this one together, basically, we thought that there was going to be a significant gap from we could, several hours when we couldn't use the room that we're in. So we're thinking about basically taking a longer lunch as part of that. So we'll definitely want outbriefs basically from the multiple tracks and so forth. And let's see, why don't you go to slide 5. And you can also see from the number of TBDs here that we do have some room in the schedule for you know, potentially some new or different things as well. One of the things that we did was kind of reduce the amount of time for the communique, particularly since most of that will hopefully happen before the symposium, and having more focus on the high-level message rather than the precise wordsmithing. So, and for the hackathon, I think the current thought is that probably most of that would happen before the symposium as well, and the results would be briefed out at the symposium. So the start and end times, I think I mostly got from last year, but I take those as probably reasonably good guidelines. And that's it for me.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, so our final presentation will just be some administrative points by Peter.
Okay, very quickly, move to slide number 2. The one single URL that people would need, or if you don't remember it, Google, would be the homepage for Ontology Summit 2013. Everything else should be accessible from there. So remember this link, or at least remember Ontology Summit 2013. So slide number 3, we will, to support the discourse, the first thing that's the asynchronous discussion would be done on this mailing list called Ontology Summit. There are participation details at the link provided here. I won't go into detail. Track champions will be starting very quickly with opening posts, soliciting various things that they want to ask the community to chime in very shortly. I would suggest people start prefixing the subject line. Of course, try to make sure the subject line corresponds to the content, but also prefix it so that we know roughly what track the topic is generally referring to, like intrinsic aspects, extrinsic aspects, software environments, or methodologies, quality, and so on. This will be a high traffic list. I mean, every now and then, once this traffic goes up, people start unsubscribing, so you don't have to do that. The best way is to set up your email client filter so that you, if you can't do it during your work day, put it away in a folder and go back to it. Other people who are just observing might want to choose digest mode, or others still might even choose a no mail delivery mode so that the messages don't go to your inbox, and then you can visit the open message archive for it. If you have problems, email me. I can tell you more. Working pages on Wiki. There are a bunch of working pages, especially for each track. There is a community input page and then a synthesis page. The community input page will be moderated by the track champions. Generally, they will ask a few questions, and people would be requested to sort of make their inputs under various sections. The synthesis pages are reserved and maintained by the track champions, so don't write on there. If you see something wrong, email the track champions with your opinion. Next slide, number 5. Of course, as Michael already mentioned, there will be virtual sessions every week. We already have an events calendar that's provided in the link there. And all virtual sessions will be on Thursdays. They will be two-hour sessions. The dial is roughly the same as the one today, and the start time is also the same as today, which is this time on the slide. Look out for event announcements. They will be circulated, especially on the Ontolog invitation list, which is the announcement list. I mean, it will go on various other lists as well, Ontology Summit, ISO, IAOA General, and so on. And there's also on the front page, homepage of the Ontolog Wiki, there's a news and announcement section near the top, and the event announcements can be found there too. Next slide, slide number six. If you have any questions, feel free to contact the track champions if it relates to the track or other organizing committee champions. For example, the symposium co-chairs, the summit general chair. I mean, it's an overall question, or if it's a logistic and non-content question, feel free to email me anytime. That's it.
Thank you, Peter. Okay, so that kind of concludes a lot of the presentation of everyone, of the theme, everyone's expectations, the breakdown into tracks, some of the deliverables that we will be producing, the community library, the communique, the special events at the symposium, and some of the, finally, Peter presenting some of the process that we'll be following. And it was nice, Peter, like reminding everyone to have a lot of online discussions. I mean, it's not just every Thursday where we come and hear presentations and panels, but a lot of the work is also in that email discussion, people proposing ideas and examples and working through a lot of those details. That also is really important to feed into the communique and other kinds of deliverables. So I'd just like to open it up now to any kind of other discussions, questions that people have, either about some of the tracks, clarification points, anything.
Please raise your hand in the chat room, and then we'll take people off the top of the queue.
Right. So Matthew will be chairing the remainder of the meeting. Thank you, Matthew.
So, Terry, unmuting is star 7. Now you're with us. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Did you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. I finally figured that out. I just the question of the order in the agenda, when Mike was presenting it, he had we were going A, B, C, D was the track order that he had, but I thought we earlier decided that track B should be first. You know, it has an impact on how we organize our session.
Well, I think that it just means that in the timing-wise, the timing of your session is first.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that in the agenda that was presented here.
It says so. Here's the schedule of events, and it does say that track B is first.
But for the schedule.
The symposium, I think he's talking
symposium
about.
You want to flip those for the symposium itself as well?
I think so. I mean, I thought that's what we wanted to do. But, you know, it's open. I just wondered if it had been thought about.
Well, I think it'll be sensible to revisit that somewhere near the symposium. When we've seen what the content comes out and what would be the best way to bring that together at the symposium.
Okay.
So it might even be track D comes first.
Yeah, that's true. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
That's all for me.
Yeah, I think it's just arbitrary, at least at the moment. Okay, thank you. If you click again, it takes your hand down. Steve.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. This is just a quick comment. I was thinking when Amanda was presenting the Zotero thing,
this is a little bit of self-interest, but it could be useful for others, which is there any way we could possibly tag some of these publications that are listed and to be added so that they could be classified under either, you know, intrinsic, extrinsic, basically the themes that we're following in this, the whole summit, so that people could see which papers are more relevant?
That's a good question. Amanda, is there any way to do that?
Absolutely. Easily done. Last year what I did was create a folder for each track, but you could do it tagging or foldering. What I would ask is that the track champions do that. If people are adding things, if any member of the community is adding something and they need to address it specifically to a track, then I think they can just add that tag. And then otherwise it would be up to, you know, track champions rather than, say, you know, me as general keeper of the thing or something to say these are relevant to this particular bit. But it's anyone can create folders, create tags, and add them to individual.
Okay, so the capability is there. I suspect that we will need some curation to make that a profitable exercise. But okay, that's good. Thank you.
Okay.
Is that okay, Steve?
Sure.
Okay, Peter.
Yes. One thing we are slightly slow on is we have not yet communicated with all the co-sponsors and advisors from last year. Obviously, they will be retired from last year, and we bring in a new team. While the organizing committee has been reviewing a sort of a more formalized terms of reference for advisors, we also are planning to at least inherit all the co-sponsors from last year, plus hopefully add more. At this point, I would want to mention that co-sponsors are organizations who are providing technical or funding support and or endorsing the purpose of our ontology summit. So that makes it easy for almost everyone here, because everyone here is already in a way contributing to the discourse. So try to get your employer or your research institution, your university, your company to sign up as a co-sponsor. You, of course, optionally can provide some funding support, but that's only optional. So we will be, the general co-chairs, Michael or Matthew, will be writing everyone. And then for those who are already a co-sponsor, it will be opt-out. So if you have been a co-sponsor last year, we will assume you will be a co-sponsor this year unless we hear otherwise from you. So I just wanted to mention that. Back to Matthew.
Are there any other questions that anyone has? I don't see any hands up now. So if that's the case, I think the main thing...
Thank you comment. I'm Ravi, just
okay,
online,
yes.
But not having a chat.
Okay.
But the valuable comment of Steve to Amanda, and if we can keep track of how we ourselves categorize these four tracks, at least among the documents we generate, and if possible, to the external bibliography as well.
Yeah, I certainly agree that it would be good to classify things just as a way of helping people to navigate the resource, because at the moment, even with just 100, even though it's just 100 references, it's still quite daunting when you think, I need to find something specific in there. So, yes, I think it's a really good idea. And if we can succeed in providing some classification of the resource, I think that will help people to make better use of it very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve.
Small caution is that a single paper or a presentation can have multiple track associated.
Of course. So being able to
in itself.
Being able to add multiple tags to the same paper is, of course, desirable. Yep.
Yeah, that's not a problem from the Zotero perspective. You can multiply tag things or put them in multiple folders.
Good.
In fact, can you hear me?
Yes.
I wanted to follow up on that very point. I was exploring Zotero, and I noticed there's maybe 100 tags already in there. I'm wondering, Amanda, do those come from sort of automated tagging of the papers as they're added? Because it starts to get too many tags at some point.
Oh, yes. Yes. Now, for the most part, there's some that are carried over. Almost everything that's in there right now was carried over from the quality cross-track last year, right? So some of those are that were put on end, and some of them are when you add a paper to the library, there's an option that Zotero gives you to extract the metadata from a PDF, for example, and add it. So some of these are actually those tags, the ones that were embedded in the PDF. So the only exceptions really on there are ones, I think that some things have the tag that, for example, they were a resource used from Ontology Summit 2012. But they're mostly not manual tags. So we have some options. We could hide all of those or just get rid of them, not use them, and just use our own tags. We could leave those there and use foldering instead. So, I mean, if you look on Zotero, you can look for the library for Ontology Summit 2012, you know, same format, and you'll be able to see it even if you weren't a member. You can see the folder structure that's there. There's one for each track and so forth. We can do that again.
Okay, maybe we can discuss this sort of offline or something and figure out some sensible recommendation then.
Yes, that's right. It seems to me that some work needs to be done on how to use the facilities consistently.
Okay.
But hopefully not too much. Okay. Thank you very much. Well, too much work, I meant, not too much use. Okay, so is there anyone else with any questions or points they wish to make? Hearing none, I think we'll move on to just reminding you about the next session. This is on the 24th of January, when there will be extrinsic aspects of ontology evaluation, with Terry Longstreth and Todd Schneider as co-chairs. And that will be our first working session, so to speak. So if there is no more administrivia or other things, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone. I think you can see that even getting to this point, and we are really at the beginning, there's already been a considerable amount of work gone into thinking about what this should be and where we should go. And I'd like to thank all of you for your parts in that and the parts you're going to play. Thank you. Peter.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Michael. That's it. So join us again same time next week when Terry and Todd will present their first panel. See you all then. Bye.
Thanks.